Sunday.
And
I'd like to especially thank Lewis. Lewis gifted us with all of these palm fronds because Lewis has pleaded and insisted for years that we have palms on Palm Sunday. Part of the journey.
Yes.
We don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's part of the journey that God got us right here. That's part of the beautiful tapestry of life. So to make sure that we finally had palms, Lewis ordered them and told me about it in their mind. And so here we are. And thank you, Lewis. Sunday, the day that officially begins Holy Week, the final week of the Lenten season. And it's interesting, this was not even on purpose yesterday when I was meditating and contemplating and thinking, what is today really supposed to be about? I mean, obviously Palm Sunday. And we live downtown in Battery Park, and I went over to, you know where the Winter Garden is?
Yes.
The indoor palm trees?
Yes.
Drink that in. I went over to sit at the tables. It's very peaceful there most of the time, around the palm trees. I went, oh my God, I'm thinking about Palm Sunday, and they're the only palm trees in the northeastern United States. And funny. So, speaking of yesterday, how many of you participated in Works for Our Lives? Please stand up, please. Please stand up. Young people who, in a matter of weeks of taking something that was so horrific and so tragic, I'm getting goosebumps talking about it, and they've turned it into an action that has inspired millions of people around the world. This stuff was going on around the world yesterday, and it's absolutely incredible. And in just a few weeks, this has already changed the course of our history. It's not something that's going to happen, it's already happening. It's already taking place. And what amazingly powerful examples they are for all of us. I was a hot mess at that age. I don't know about you, but look what they're doing. Oh my God, and as Gandhi said, be the change you wish to see in the world. And that's exactly what they're doing. And yesterday is all about our fifth Unity principle. Putting feet to the prayers, taking action. Somebody said there were a lot of signs that were saying prayers are not enough. Well, traditional prayer that seems to be so lame and passive, and it, you know that, I'm not judging, my past. But Unity is active prayer, affirmative prayer in action, and that's what yesterday was. And Jesus, our way shower and our master teacher, epitomized this. And my friend David Ault, who would love that I just segued from Jesus to him, he would. He's going to be with us again next month.
Yay.
Yay. Yes. Hallelujah. And David's not just a good friend. We get together and we get silly and we finish each other's sentences. But he's also a really important, profound teacher for me. David's been at his work for many decades, and he's masterful. And he talks about a term that you all might be familiar with called bait and switch, that is supposed to actually be illegal. Huh. So bait and switch, it's where you're baited into something, into an experience, maybe by a promise, often by a price. And I realized as I was writing this that the initials for bait and switch are BS. Kind of like the palm trees. I didn't make this stuff up. But I think one of the worst culprits for bait and switch are the airlines.
Yes.
I mean, there are also rental cars and politicians, plenty. But airlines have become a little like con artists. You know, you have the price of your ticket, you search, you need to research, and you finally find your ticket, and then you find out that there are all the extras. If you would like room to sit in your seat, like I have to do because I cannot unscrew my legs and put them in the overhead compartment, it's extra. Some airlines, you pay for the seat belt. You gotta go to the bathroom, you gotta pay for it. Water, pay up.
Blanket,
air to breathe. God forbid the oxygen mask falls and you gotta pay for it before you can use it. But the bait and switch is when we're lured into something false. It's when what is delivered is not what's promised. And this is so much of what the human experience is. This is everywhere. Bait and switch is everywhere, even and sometimes especially in our own personal lives. Plenty of times I have not delivered. And unless one of you here today is that rare exception that has mastered the four agreements, especially being impeccable with your word, and I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I know you haven't mastered it because you're here, you haven't ascended. We all do it. We're all on the human journey. The ultimate bait and switch story is about this guy named Jesus. Jesus the Christ, who on Palm Sunday rides into Jerusalem on a donkey with great herald revelry, with people singing and shouting, Hosanna! Which is the most epitomized version of praise, and swinging the palm fronds, like you guys were just doing. And then by the next Friday, these same people who were screaming at him like he was a rock star, were going, crucify him! Kill him! Kill him! In sports circles, we call these fair-weathered fans. But it's the ultimate bait and switch story. Jesus on Palm Sunday. And so it is. I'm kidding. But think about it. Life in human form. Everything has its polarity, doesn't it? Everything does. Bait and switch certainly has its polarity. Bait, from a spiritual perspective, is the ego. And the ego is always baiting us. It's always luring us into this false sense of protection with false promises, into an us and them mentality. I spoke about this a few weeks ago. It's that thing that thinks it's keeping us safe, us and them. It's painting this big, beautiful picture of illusion. But if we understand this, if we understand what is going on, instead of trying to get rid of it, it's like joking about the palms are from Lewis's Catholic background. That's a part of it. So this is all a part of it as well. So when we understand this, what we're being called to do from a soul perspective is to switch what the ego is baiting us. It's what gives us the opportunity to grow, to expand in awareness, to expand in consciousness. Again, we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We see that all parts of the thing are working together. It's not either or, it's both and. And the bait and switch from a spiritual perspective is actually the human journey. It's the very thing that provides us the opportunity to practice what we say we believe in. If we sing and shout Hosanna to what we call God or Spirit or whatever name works for each of us to describe all that is, but then we switch, if we're calling singing Hosanna, praise, praise, and then we switch our behavior to the opposite of what we attest to be, what we have baited and proclaimed that we are, then we're just as much a fraud as any of the things that we're condemning in the world. When we use all of our energy to condemn others, and sometimes we don't even realize it, what we're really doing is just showcasing all of the unresolved self-condemnation we hold so dear toward ourselves. And Palm Sunday is when Jesus was coming to the end of his human journey, and he knew it. He knew this in advance. Think about the size of the crowds yesterday. It's mind-blowing, the March for Our Lives. And whether it was here in New York or in Washington, D.C. or anywhere all over the world, all of these people joining together for a cause. I imagine this must be something like what it was 2,000 years ago when the crowds gathered to see this rock star named Jesus as he rode his ass into Jerusalem. Because, you know, wanting to get close to famous people is not some new phenomenon. It was happening back then, too. And here is what I would like to give as a paraphrased account of Palm Sunday. And this was actually recorded in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So picture it. Jerusalem, 30 AD. When they were on the outskirts of Jerusalem, Jesus sent two of his disciples into town to find a donkey for him to ride on. Actually, the colt of a donkey. And he told them, when you find it, just untie the donkey and bring it to me. And they looked at him and he's like, relax, guys, I'm not asking you to steal it. However, if anyone has a problem about you taking it, tell them it's for me. And I need it to make my grand entrance. And they'll let you have the donkey. And then we'll return the donkey when we're done with it. So the disciples did as Jesus instructed and didn't have any trouble getting the donkey out of Jerusalem. When they got to Jesus, they put on their designer cloaks. You know, the ones with the sign of the fish logo. Anyway. And they actually took their cloaks and they put them on the donkey. And then Jesus hopped on and began his ride towards Jerusalem. Well, word quickly spread that Jesus was coming. And remember, I know you know this, but really think about it. There were no cell phones and texts, and there was word of mouth. That was it. That was the communication, word of mouth. And the word had quickly spread that Jesus was coming, and people came running towards him. They wanted to see him because he had just helped bring a dead man back to life the day before. Who wouldn't want to see a guy that, you know, Lazarus? Remember Lazarus, some of you? Okay, that's another story. Anyway, one by one, they all laid their coats on the ground for the donkey to step on. And the people that weren't wearing coats, they ran out into the fields and the trees, and they cut down the palm branches, and they laid them out because they didn't have cloaks. These people knew Jesus was special. Some had seen, and some had heard. This was like when a king would come to town and people would roll out a red carpet for him to step on. This is what these people were doing when they laid down their cloaks and their branches, their palm branches for Jesus. It was the red carpet. And as they got even closer to town, more and more and more people noticed Jesus. A crowd surrounded him and started to shout praises to him for all the miracles he had done. Remember, this is near the end of his life. So, yay, Jesus, Hosanna, they were shouting, And the word Hosanna is not just the ultimate shout of praise. It means save us. Please save us now. And they said this because Jesus was helping them and he was doing amazing things. They wanted to praise him and they wanted to get him to keep helping them. And they probably had the same expectations that Judas had. I mean, here he was. It was foretold. This was their savior, the one who would save them from Rome. And shortly after the triumphant entrance of Jesus, he entered into the temple. This is the part where he turned the tables over and drove out all the telemarketers. So Jesus had a busy Palm Sunday. But let's see how this story, this great entrance, relates to us from a unity perspective by looking metaphysically at this event. Jerusalem. Remember, we've talked about this before. Jerusalem represents our abiding consciousness of inner peace. Jerusalem is that place of inner peace. And Jesus, especially at this late stage in his ministry, represents the mature awareness of our Christ nature, of the very innate nature of who we are at our core. The donkey? Donkey represents meekness and a willingness to surrender to our Christ nature. Palms, they signify spiritual strength, enthusiasm, waving the palms, receptivity, laying them on the ground, what is to come, what are we receiving? And crowds, whenever there's crowds, usually this refers to the multitudes of material thoughts that are close, very close to being raised to their higher spiritual essence. And again, Hosanna. It means save us. It represents the harmonious energies within us that sense freedom from our error thoughts. The sin of missing the mark. And the trip to Jerusalem. This represents our intention to erase, to crucify our attachment to the temptations of the sense consciousness, looking in the outer. And the temple, this symbolizes our spiritually revitalized ego personality. So driving out the money changers, the telemarketers, represents the cleansing of our body, our mind, and our soul of error thoughts, habits, and intentions. So, from a unity perspective, here's what Palm Sunday and the experience of it represents. It is our conscious surrender to our innate divinity. It reawakens our childlike faith, trust, and initially it stirs the entire consciousness. It's the city in turmoil, stirring the consciousness, and we sense there's something really wonderful at work, but we don't quite understand the full implications of it. Can you relate to that? When there's all this turmoil and you're holding to your truth and you're knowing that good is coming from this. This depth charge of inner quickening intensifies and it leads to the process of inner transformation and cleansing. And that's what Jesus is driving the money changers out of the temple means metaphysically. And unity calls this purification process chemicalization. Anyone familiar with that? It's when a new thought is coming up against an old thought that has deep roots. And when you do this in a laboratory, mixing two chemicals together, there's a reaction. There's an alchemization taking place. So the power of spirit helps us rid ourselves of old tapes and negative programming, of obsolete beliefs no longer serving us, and habits that also no longer serve our greater good. And this purging, this chemicalization taking place prepares us to embrace that deeper, more authentic aspect of us called our Christ self. Remember, Christ was not his last name. It is our true divine nature. Before we came into this world and started layering on so many things. Remember, this is an unlearning process. Everything, we know everything innately at our core, at that Christ self. And it's truly a transforming experience. It's one that readies us to make a grand entrance into the next level of our being, of our Christhood. Like Jesus, our own spiritual power is not of this world. It lies in, it expresses through a quiet grace, a loving presence. If we are truly centered in our Christ energy, the world around us will recognize that gentle power and it will respond. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. I'd like for us to go to that place, to our own personal Jerusalem, to that place of inner peace. And as we prepare to do that, if you know the words to I release and let go, share them. If not, just be in the stillness. Take a conscious breath. And allow yourself to continue moving down into that deeper place. Into that city of Jerusalem within you. This place where we experience peace when we realize the Christ Spirit is already within us. It's not out there. It's already right here. And when we recognize this innate part of us, peace comes naturally. Simply continue to be, to breathe. I release and let go in the silence of my soul. I release and let go of my soul. I forgive every wrong as I sing this simple song. I forgive every wrong, oh my soul. I release and let go. I release and let go. In the silence of my soul. through the field in the night. As I lift from the ground till my soul is in flight. Let me sway like a shade of a tree and swirl like a cloud. Storm on a sea. Through the dawning day,
Watch me rain till I pour out and catch a ship and sail astray and get caught in a wind. And time flying away. And let me leave behind all the clouds in my mind. When I wake, without wondering why, I'll find myself for a burst for the sky. I float like a wish in a well. Free as the sound of the sea in a shell. In flight, I go to the secret place of the Most High. To the silence, to the peace, where I take flight.
Checks don't clear, if the house blows down, I'll be all.